that explains the itch.
And we are live. Dallin, you'll fix that in post, right? Thanks.
There you go.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. The Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why, and we're not going to address the itch whatsoever. The Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook went ahead and posted stuff that they wanted to on whatever topics they thought were fun and interesting, whether or not they were real, and liked it that way, and I did what I wanted to do, which was to post corrections, and they didn't like that one bit. Part of this is to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name pretty much anywhere. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, am an unabashed atheist, and oh my god, I'm so jonesing for some Entenmann's coffee cake, you have no idea. It's a new year, so I'm allowed to change things up however the hell I want for a little while. We'll see how that holds up. No, there are no new resolutions for this year. Don't even bother asking, except for 1080p. We've got a little bit of a different lineup for right now. I'll explain as we go along. Let me start up north. Right now into almost the great white north. Good morning, heretic woman.
Good morning. It is actually, it's whiter now than when I left on Thursday, so there is
that. Is
that
the truth?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now say it in a way that doesn't explain New England.
I have no idea.
I feel a little bad for that one.
So I'm in Ontario, and I was raised in the United Church of Canada, which is pretty liberal as far as churches go. But as we all do stupid things when we're teenagers, my stupid teenager thing was to join a Calvinist sect. And I don't really recommend it. They're not the most fun people at all. But I got better, as they say, and I have been an atheist for going on 27 years now, because it is the new year, and I spend as much time as I can trying to talk sense into people and irritating religious nutcases wherever I find them.
Going down over into the Midwest of the U.S., good evening, Bridget.
Good evening. My name is Bridget Fitch. I was born and raised in the South and currently reside in the Midwest. I was brought up in the Church of Christ Church, which is a lot more strict than Southern Baptist, and they put the mental in fundamentalism. I got out in 2003 after much wavering back and forth for decades. And now I fight back against biblical patriarchy and theocracy wherever I happen to find them.
Moving to the east, just south of me, into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, my name is Joe, and I'm an alcoholic.
Or a pirate. It's hard to tell which one.
Wrong meeting. Okay.
I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I spent 8 years in the United States military, and I am now residing in, again, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a designer and atheist.
And continuing to the right on your map, if you're playing bingo tonight, over to the mainland of Europe. We're starting off this time over there. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name's Joseph. I grew up Anglican and saw a little sense in it. So today I'm doing everything I can to promote independent thought and critical thinking.
So for those of you that have been watching for a while, know full well that we are down a few hosts. That's okay. Dallin is still with his personal reasons for being out right now. Yes, it's medical. We'll just go as far as to say, wow, must be nice to have otherwise free medical care up there in Canada.
He is becoming very well acquainted, and I'm sure enamored with, his anesthesiologist.
last public update that we had gotten on him was that he's doing far and away better, and we're hoping very heavy that you're going to be in okay shape for next week, hopefully.
And morphine is wonderful.
Unreno Tech is taking the night off. He's got some driving that he's got to do tomorrow, so our thoughts are with him. And Chris is...
British.
Well, I know that the old expression is a wizard shows up whenever he's supposed to, but last I checked, I don't think that he's got the robes for it. I know he doesn't have a stick for it. So,
does that explain the KKK crashing the Westboro Baptist Church party that they had?
Wait a minute. What?
Old news. Remember when the KKK drove the Westboro Baptist Church out of town from that one funeral?
No.
That's cool.
No,
I don't. I mean, how bad do you have to be?
Yeah.
Miss something.
Well, pretty damn bad. But we can discuss that shortly, because there's a thing about that I can kind of touch on a little bit, but we'll come to that in a couple moments. Those of you that are watching live, of course, by all means, please take advantage of the question and answer system. Always nice to see you, because there's Katie and there's Beth. Hi, Beth. By the way, Heretic Woman, does Beth know already?
The Christmas thing?
Yeah,
I think so. Yes, I did tell her.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we'll fill you guys in on that in a couple of moments. Don't worry about it. But yes. It's nice to have you guys watching. The Crap Crew is ready to believe you. Maybe. Just prove it. Just put up or shut up. And we've got stuff that we're going to end up talking about. There's a couple of things that we're going to end up talking about tonight, because, oh boy, was there stuff going on. But we'll tell you about that in a little bit. Anyway. Let me get us started over here, and we'll jump into it in a couple of moments. But first, with 5 minutes on the clock, with apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, yes, I keep plugging you guys because I can't give you guys money.
Stop apologizing.
I'm not apologizing. I'm letting them know that I'm doing trade. They were on our show once, and, you know, we kind of helped them get where they are today.
Okay, Joseph and I are the apologizing experts. You're apologizing.
Yeah.
You know what? Fine.
Sorry.
Fine. I've apologized. Fine. I will stop now. Are we happy?
Okay.
Yeah.
You've given enough.
Great.
And if you want to apologize more, have them on again.
You can apologize later when you forget what to plug. However... with 5 minutes on the clock, your five-minute freestyle starts right here, right now. Go. There it is. I was trying to find that damn button. So before I get really into my part, I want you guys to know that you're probably going to end up squirming just a little bit when all is said and done. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing on this one, but I'm pulling Heretic Woman in for just a couple of seconds. Because there's a Bible verse that you know by heart at this point, chapter and verse. Give me the chapter and verse.
Ezekiel 23:20.
Which states, and you quote,
"And she lusted after her lovers, whose members were like that of donkeys, and whose emissions were like that of horses."
That's the reason why I'm having her quote that one out. She's got that one.
5:17.
No, don't worry. You're going to love where I'm going to go. She's got this one memorized because Bible Barbie. Now, for those of you that don't know about Bible Barbie, short version, if you go over and you say, "Well, I know what's in the Bible, and you guys who are just behaving yourselves all there nice and quiet, you should be listening to me," don't be surprised if we out-Bible you when we know your book mm-hmm. better than you do.
Never tell a group of atheists with an internet connection that that's not in the Bible.
An atheist can always find something completely opposite to what you're saying.
Yep.
And for those of you that think that this is something that you should worry about, oh yes. Because I'm going to quote you Bible and verse myself. I'm going to take you over to Leviticus. Because why? Because Leviticus is one of those places that gets quoted off so often, and it gets used to rationalize so much stuff.
It's also denied because they say, oh, but that's the Old Testament.
Yes, well, here's a reason why you should be really careful about this. I'm going to quote you out Leviticus 11, 9 to 12. Chapter and verse, here it comes. And there's a reason for it. And those of you that have not had anything to eat yet, I strongly suggest that you don't eat for a little while. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea, and in the rivers, of all that move in the water, and of any living thing which is in the water, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the water, that shall be an abomination unto you. Chapter and verse right there. Now, for those of you that are paying attention, no, we are not in any way, shape, or form invoking the great god of the Marvel Universe. No, this is not the one guy that's head-to-head against the Hulk. But I digress. Taking a drink now because in a couple seconds I won't be able to. I want to ask you, where in all of that do, well, let's go with clams. Clams fall into that category of an abomination. It has no fins, it has no scales, it's got the shell, but, you know, okay, you don't exactly eat those, one would hope. You've got all the crustaceans, of course. Like crabs, you've got lobster, delicious, but it's an abomination. We joked about bacon-wrapped shrimp at one point, but that's neither here nor there. I want to specifically take you over to something that is an Italian delicacy when it's done correctly. Squid. Squid is an Italian delicacy when it's done right, and it's one of those things that, like I said, if you do it right, it's great. If you do it too much, if you cook it too much, it's chewy. It's like a rubber band. I'm running out of time, so I have to make my point. I always kind of wondered,
we lost your audio, Shujin.
We'll do it in mime.
Yeah, you're talking and we got nothing.
Shout real loud. Okay, what do we do?
Well,
okay, Ginger was talking about all of these things being abominations that we eat to this day, and part of that would be scampi and shrimp and calamari and things like squid, sparklets, yes. Anything without fins or scales.
My love for cooking began with squid.
Really?
Yeah.
And shrimp, when I was two, I have been in love with shrimp since I was two.
I had a scampi salad at the Italian Pavilion at the Epcot Center when I was 16.
No. Oh, there's Chris. And there's Chris.
It is me. At least
good
I think
morning,
it is.
Chris.
Okay, so Shujin lost his sound, so as you can see, he's just popped out. So, Chris, while we're waiting for Shujin, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm based in the north of England, where I work in tech support. I've been a lifelong fan of science, reason, and critical thinking.
Welcome, good morning.
And welcome, Shujin. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Uh-oh.
We're just getting the subtitle system set up.
Yeah. And now with closed captioning. He's gone out again. Yes. I've got closed captioning, sort of. I could actually soup that up a little bit if I really needed to, but yeah. Not right now.
I think where he was going with this is on abominations, so be careful what you classify as an abomination. Like tattoos. You have some tattoos, do you not?
I have a few.
You have just a couple.
Just a couple.
And those are an abomination, according to you. But it is.
And I always love, there's a meme that goes around with the guy who has, like, the anti-gay Leviticus tattoo on, and it's like, yeah, did you read the next one?
About now tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, dear, Shujin, I think your problem is bigger than Hangouts.
That might very well be.
Wait, we hear him. I hear him.
We hear him.
All hail.
Yes.
Yay. All right,
so for those of you that are kind of wondering what in the hell happened, I have been having problems with my audio system for a little while. And I had been considering doing a complete reinstall of my computer system. And I think I'm just simply going to have to do that. I had been holding off on it because I really don't want to have to do that. But at the same time, I'm fearful of screwing it up. So,
Understandable.
Yeah, see, problem is, not so much. But I will knuckle down. I will pay for the extra $200 or so to make sure that I've got a full backup of everything, and then just completely do everything from scratch.
So you were about to bring home your Leviticus seafood spiel.
Great. All right. So, I'll give you the last. I'll give you the last 30 seconds or so of it all. And Dallin, you're going to fix this in post, right? Thanks. So, what was it about this passage of Leviticus that got me going? Was that, as an Italian, like I said, we love our seafood, especially for Christmas. It is not unusual for an Italian American family to have a huge feast, if you will, of seafood, including calamari. Am I the only one, however, that remembers that there is a story in the Bible somewhere about, I don't know, needing to chop off 100 foreskins, and he came back with two?
200.
And for those of you that have already had your Italian Christmas dinner, enjoy getting that image out of your head now. Is that the reason why they said you need to have something that's got fin and scales so they don't mix up which batch you're dealing with?
Ooh.
Well, if you overcook calamari, it can resemble.
I can't tell you the images going through my head. Well, first off, do shellfish have foreskins?
No.
I don't know. And it's too early in the morning for me to Google that.
So, for all of you that have had fun trying to figure out where I was going with all of this, enjoy that image in your head. Because if you don't think that the Bible can be worse than what you thought it could be, those of us that are creative will go ahead and make it far and away worse than you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you cut it down. But I'm mixing my metaphors now. And for those of you that have gone and seen Star Wars, you know, tough. It's just the way it's going to be.
Now we know why his sound cut out.
Possibly and probably.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I did see that Tech had just messaged us as a group. So you take care of yourself, men. Get yourself some sleep. And see the Q&A system. Oh, good, it's all still there. Ducky me.
Yep.
So, anyway, so Heretic Woman and Beth came up into the Buffalo area over this past weekend, and we had a pretty good time, I would think. Dinner was good.
That looks like fun.
Yeah, dinner was fun. We went to the public house on the lake, which really is on the lake, which was really cool.
Yep, you got a couple of pictures out the window.
I did, yeah. I'm working on getting those uploaded, maybe by tomorrow.
Yep, and we tried to do a recording for one of your mini shows.
We did, and it kind of crapped out on me after 30 minutes, which sucks. But that just means we get to have him back live in his studio tomorrow, so or Monday. But I guess it's tomorrow now. Yes.
That's a good turn off.
Wait, Monday or Sunday?
Monday. It is now Sunday. For half an hour.
What time?
9:30 p.m.
I would normally be DJing. You know what? I'll push it back. I will push my starting for Monday.
We can figure something out.
Well, we'll just work with your normal schedule, and I'll just restart my year Wednesday instead.
Okay,
that's fine.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But yes, we had fun. We walked around downtown Buffalo, and I got myself a snow stick that's sparkling, glowy, and
I got a rock.
You got a rock. Does your rock sparkle?
No, it was soggy.
Oh, it must be porous.
I kid you not. Southern Ohio turned into a swamp this past week. And while I did find a beautiful, lovely stretch of road for motorcycle riding, you know, later in the year, not so much for somebody who's driving in a manual old pickup truck with very poor suspension.
Did you have a snorkel?
Were you here when I told them about the interstate thing?
Yeah, you probably needed two snorkels. Yeah. It's been that bad here, too. We've been under, like, five locked and dam flood warnings.
For those of you who are scratching your heads, part of my holiday trip involved rerouting through Cincinnati because all four lanes of Interstate 71 South were flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard since it was really bad.
I don't just mean a little puddle either.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, worst case, next time, we'll just put you in touch with Callie Wright. I'm sure she'd be happy to go ahead and meet you.
That or I really need to get started on that Thunderbirds initiative.
It's probably not such a bad idea. Let's see, come to think of it, Eric DeSchwartz would have been out that way, but some people. Eric DeSchwartz.
The paddle boat is out to you.
DeSchwartz.
Yeah. Hey, DeSchwartz. Oh, with you.
No, I've spent the last week watching just on a Mel Brooks marathon with family and friends. So.
Well, Spaceballs is my favorite, so I practically have the whole thing memorized now.
Harlem Gas! Move on. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bashigan and Spugan. They docked at us. Woof! If you don't get the reference, Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles. Watch it.
There you go. All right. So a couple of things have been happening, of course, for those of you that have been paying attention. I ended up posting a little something over to the Facebook group for us, an exchange that I had with some folks.
Oh,
that mm-hmm. was painful in some ways.
I must have missed this
yes.
one.
Yes.
Well, you don't do the Facebook thing.
Yeah, I should probably start doing the Facebook thing.
I know. I've had a friend request out to you for like 3 months now. I think.
Yeah, don't accept that. Come on.
Just to put it in perspective, Howard accepted me in like 2 hours.
Well, I'm so sorry that I can't live up to Howard's standards.
You already took mine.
You're hurting our feelings.
Really bad.
You know what? We're
yeah.
PG. You know what? PG. We're allowed one. You know what? Fuck y'all. Fine. That's just
well, I never.
You don't. You have.
Oh my.
Actually, come to think of it, I'll answer you the way that Groucho Marx used to. You really should. It's a lot of fun. And he got away with a lot.
I like the vapors bit, though. I got the vapors.
So, short version of the exchange was a video got passed around from the Blue Lives Matter on Facebook group, and it was supposedly a disabled American vet who was yelling and screaming at some college-age people who were what looked to be having their own little protest, standing on an American flag, what looked like on a college campus, and yelled and screamed and finally pushed them off of the flag and picked it up, and they got it back. And I got into it with a couple of people and basically said, gently and nicely, you know, he's doing it wrong. He's completely in the wrong. As soon as he touched him, he was in the wrong. And people tried to tell me, well, they could be prosecuted for federal offenses for desecrating the flag. And the funny part of it was one of those links actually had in the thing over there that said about all the court cases actually had in there 1989.
Yeah, it was in the '80s.
Yeah, it was 89 if I remember right.
Way before SCOTUS rulings. Way before.
Which basically said, you know what? It's protected speech. The Supreme Court's already ruled on this. So, and me, I'm just like, dude, this piece that you're trying to quote for me is kind of shooting you in your own foot. So
wrong precedent.
It's like you might not like it. It might be distasteful, but it's not illegal. And SCOTUS has already made this ruling, so suck it up, cupcake.
And the worst part of it was the guy that originally posted it is somebody, yet again, I knew from high school and tried to say, amongst other things, look, I side more with the opinion of the vet that they shouldn't be doing that. And I was a police officer, so I would know that no assault was being done over here, and no court would consider it battery, and no police officer or MP would slap the cuffs on a disabled American vet doing this. My overall was, wait a minute, you can think anything you want, but as an official police officer, you're not allowed to take sides on this one.
Yeah.
And, yeah, basically, I told him, I tried very kindly to tell him, you know, you're supposed to do your job. So if you are on duty in uniform and this came up, which wins? Your patriotism or your oath to your duty?
The oath to the duty.
His answer was, and I'm paraphrasing,
patriotism.
His answer was, in a nutshell, I'm retired now, so I can go ahead and think for myself. And that was it. Nothing more.
So it would be nice if he did.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It would be. Yeah, Bridge.
But you know what? I'm a vet, okay? I took the same oath that all of these other people took, and I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Now, SCOTUS has already made this ruling. I might find it distasteful. I might think it's really tacky to jump up and down on the flag and burn it and whatever they want to do, but that is their right. If I happen to touch them and stop them, that is battery. I cannot do that.
Yep. Joey,
and I have to support their right to protest in the manner that they see fit, as long as they're not destroying someone else's property.
Yep. Joey, you're the other vet. I'm pretty sure I know where you're going on this one, but go ahead and do it on the official.
I may not agree with what they particularly were saying, but that's not my business. Mm-hmm. They have the freedom to say what they will, and as per law of the land, that activity with a flag is covered under free speech, under freedom of expression. So, you know, if it was, unless the flag belonged to somebody else, I have to let them do what they will. Mm-hmm. I may not agree with it, but that's the way it is.
Exactly.
I forget the exact quote, but I believe it was something to the effect of, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death
of your right to say it.
That's arguably one of the highest forms of patriotism that anyone could say, or could be humanism. It really depends as to which tack you want to take on it, but we can talk about that another time.
Well, I mean, Joey did this the same as I did. So we're speaking the same language.
And good on you for that. Now, the free speech rights, of course, are outlaid differently in different countries. And because of that, and because of the way that this panel is, Chris, as far as England is concerned, I don't recall that England has it enumerated exactly as a federal charter, a federal constitution level charter, but as far as to what is considered free and acceptable speech for England, what is that
Pretty much anything. There are a couple of things to do with, obviously, things like libel and slander, where you're speaking about an individual on there. And there's also a number of hate speech provisions. So if you're publicly advocating for violence against a group of people or whatever, or preaching that people should, you know, out in the streets screaming that people should be killed, then yeah, there's various laws against that. But day to day, you can say pretty much whatever you want,
which is the typical. I mean, so long as you're not doing something illegal, of course. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the way it's been laid out. Joseph, how about over in France?
Yeah, I had to read up on that because I saw this coming.
Holy crap, but you're actually doing homework at the very last minute? How brilliant.
Preemptive homework. Yeah, but it's it is a crime here, but it's got €7,500 fine.
For
and particular. Actually, as recent as 2010, it's illegal to publish a picture of the flag being desecrated.
Really?
Even a picture online.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
No, I wouldn't have either.
Wow.
Heretic Woman, what about for Canada? Again, I remembered, it isn't exactly enumerated per se.
We have no laws regarding what to do with the flag, and there's nothing to prohibit desecrating the flag at all. Now, I know we do have we have some hate speech laws, but it's basically around inciting violence against others. So that's sort of where they draw the line here. I think there might have been one or two cases. Actually, most notably, there is a case that's being decided right now where a guy tweeted to some social justice warriors, and they decided that his tweets were criminal harassment, even though he never threatened them or said anything that could be construed as threatening. They are trying to prosecute him for criminal harassment, and that's being decided right now. Like, it's one of those things that's going to take the judge like you know, 10 weeks to figure out. But, yeah, that could set a dangerous precedent if they come down on him.
That's kind of scary.
It is, because he never actually made any threats or anything that could be construed as a threat. All he did was disagree with them and was persistent in his disagreement. So, like, I guess when they blocked him, he would continue answering under another account, that kind of thing. And that's why they're saying it's criminal harassment.
Okay, there's a certain level of, dare I say it, dickishness at that point. Yes.
So dickishness, but criminal, I don't think so.
I don't, you know, it's, wow. That's something
I'd have to think about that one.
Yeah. I'd definitely love to hear a follow-up on that a little bit later to find out what angle they were trying to take on it.
They're expecting a verdict, I think, in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, that should prove to be interesting. I look forward to finding out a little bit more about that guy.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to use aliases, it seems like he's going above and beyond.
I'd have to come back and double check that, whether he actually did that. I do know that they blocked him at some point, and he was somehow able to continue to respond to them, whether it was through aliases or he just posted whether they could see it or not. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and double check that.
Yeah, that would make a difference.
The verdict is taking so long because it has to be in 140 characters or less.
Yes, that's right. and it has actually been delayed once already. It was supposed to have been a verdict rendered end of October, and the judge came back and said that he asked some questions and then said that he needed more time to deliberate, so... Yeah.
Considering how complicated this one probably is, I can understand making sure because, again, setting precedent is not something that you want to do accidentally.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, if the guy didn't actually even make any threats, then, that's pretty iffy for me. Yeah, like if it's somebody who's like, I'm going to find you and I'm going to beat you up and all of that, I can see wanting to take that especially seriously. But when it's just like, no, you're wrong and I'm going to keep saying that you're wrong and you maybe to the point of you're an idiot for being wrong, I don't know exactly. I just know that there was nothing overtly abusive about his tweets.
Oh. So again, that should prove to be interesting to follow up on a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've just been doing some homework on here.
Of course, you have.
On there, following Joseph's example. It turns out. Yeah, we've got some of the toughest, anti-defamation and libel laws and stuff in the Western world. But we do have sort of freedom of expression. There's a whole sweep of offences under things like threatening an abusive behaviour, behaviour likely to cause breach of the peace, publishing things that are grossly offensive. So it's not so much a restriction on what you can say, but how you can say it.
I'm wondering how many of these were made just for the Sex Pistols.
I don't know on there. I've not gone that far into the history.
I do know that they were prosecuted on desecration of the flag. Because, if I'm not mistaken, Johnny Rotten turned the flag into a...
diaper.
I forget what it was. I think it was a suit. A jacket.
Because I know at one point Larry Flint wore the American flag as a diaper to court.
Because, sure, why the hell not?
But, well, he's incontinent because of his gunshot injury, so... So he figured, if you're going to drag me to court on obscenity laws, then I may as well be as obscene as I can humanly be. So,
kids, if you don't know who the Sex Pistols are, you should really look them up. Ask your grandparents. They'll know. Probably. Ask me. Or that. So as far as this whole business with how damaging passive religiosity is, we got to talking about stuff in the hotel room. We're trying to record.
Yes.
And there was one item that specifically came up that got my gears turning in my head. And it was an eye-opening moment, which was, I actually apparently do more work for this show than she does for hers, because I actually come up with a topic every week, and she's just like, nah, we freaking wig it, man, I don't care.
I was just about to make it, I was actually going to express my surprise that we're actually sticking to topic this week. So. Well,
there is time yet.
Okay,
topic is half the bottle.
We do often have guests planned ahead of time, but I rarely plan what I'm going to talk about, so there is that. Yes.
So what ended up running in my head in seriousness was one of the people that we ended up making reference to, even though we don't remember what her name was, but there was a case not too very long ago, I believe it was last year or the year before, either 15 or 14, where a young lady of 11 years old, as I recall, from Canada, was taking chemo for leukemia, I believe it was.
Yes.
Had a 95%+ opportunity for basically remission to be cured. And... you know what, Heretic Woman, you know a little bit better. What was the card that she played?
Basically, because she came out and said, look, I don't like chemo, it makes me feel crappy, I don't like it. And the family wanted to allow her to stop chemo at 11 years old, like she would understand that. And she was Native or Aboriginal First Nations. And so what they did was they played her right as an Aboriginal citizen to kind of sidestep the main laws. And but the thing is, she wasn't actually wanting treatment that was Aboriginal culture based at all. She went to some woo peddler in Florida, and they weren't even following Aboriginal lifestyle. They were hardcore Christians. So they kind of played the Aboriginal card to get what they wanted, even though they weren't really following through from an Aboriginal perspective. And so because they let her go ahead with this, the child died, even though she had a better than 95% chance of recovery. And as Beth says, her name was Michaela Salt.
So that got me to thinking about this one, because there were a couple of other names that had floated by in the medical side. This one was a story that didn't have to have happened. There is another name out there that has been going on for nigh on to 20, possibly 25 years, possibly more, of the cancer leech is the only word that I can use for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hesitant to even mention his name, for the fact that he would end up with just that much more notoriety.
Are we talking about the Stan here?
I believe that is correct. There is a gentleman, I will use the term loosely, I will not use the term doctor, who claims to have a novel cancer treatment that you can get in on his trials for $30,000 a year, and please help me out with this. Thank you very much. I've only been trying it out so far, trying to get data for the last 20 years and phase one testing. No, what do I need to do that for? I'm still getting my data to prove that I've got something that might work.
Sounds Although like the opposite of peer review.
Well, last I remembered, he has not published a single paper in 20-some-odd years, even though he's had $30,000 a year paid to him per person that's come with the hopes of his clinic.
I believe that fairly recently there was finally some concerted efforts made to shut him down. Whether those have been successful or not, I've not followed up on the story.
Yeah, I've heard something about that too. And Beth has got a particular link over there. I'm sure that somebody can take a look at that because I can't open and read and talk all at the same time. That's only so far my superpowers will go. But that goes along into the woo science category. And I use the term science with... Heretic Woman knows what I'm doing right there. For those of you that are listening and don't know what I'm doing, don't worry about it. It won't make any kind of sense at all. It's not something that you can really hear on the air.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think that part recorded. It might have, because that was pretty near the beginning. So it might have.
Yeah, we'll
see what happens. That's a new thing. It's called air italics.
We'll explain that later. Anyway. So there's all this. And again, this is on the medical side. But what got me to thinking about the passive religious side, and I don't even know that I'm really thinking about this in the right way, this all reminded me of stories that have come out over the years, including one that came out very recently about parents that have killed their children young in order to prevent them from having to be corrupted by the world so that they would go to heaven instead of being corrupted by anything as they grow up and go to hell or have to deal with the impending apocalypse or the rapture or Satan's work coming through and taking over the planet or a worldwide flood that's going to have happen. And these are people that are, as I put it, passive as far as to the whole religious thing. And I say it that way because they're not the fundamentalists out there that are on the street corners protesting. They're not the ones throwing Molotov cocktails. They're not the ones that are out there strapping bombs onto their chests and blowing up clinics for reproductive rights.
They're victims, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it, is that the entire family is because of that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, when you get someone actively killing their children, on there, as there's been a number of cases, that is pretty fundamental, pretty active. What I think maybe a better example of, as which I've covered with Michaela Salt, and also there's various churches where basically they just let kids die of perfectly curable diseases in great pain because they think they believe in the healing power of prayer. No matter how many of their children and the children in their community they watch die in horrible suffering.
Yeah, that's also another story that had made the rounds a couple years ago. A couple that had been ordered by the court not to have kids anymore because they allowed their young'uns to basically die from perfectly curable diseases that they didn't need to be. And it was not just one child.
Mm.
It was several.
And that was, yeah.
Now, as Chris correctly pointed out, that is kind of fundamental as far as to the veracity of following through with stuff. But when I'm talking about fundamentalists, like I said, I'm talking about the people that go out there on the corners and they're protesting and they're writing letters and doing their campaigns and the whole thing, which, of course, falls into the whole Westboro Baptist Church kind of thing, mm-hmm. or the guys that are out there on the street corners talking with Jesus Choice, which, Nick, as a matter of fact, you know what, I'll see if I can grab him, find out if he's available, pop in for a couple of moments on that one, too. But,
that's all we need.
Well, considering what he's had to deal with since he's moved over here to the States, it's not too far. I mean, he does have a decent enough perspective at this point of getting,
must be really something to see that firsthand.
Oh, can well imagine. But I hope he hasn't been spit on yet. I don't know. I don't think so, because he's not in jail last I checked, and he's pretty well said that that'd be assault on anybody else's turf. You know.
I'm glad to see, as far as I've heard, he's not actually been assaulted seriously harmed yet.
Been spit on. Might not be terribly proud of what I did in response. But that's just me.
But I'm sure the statute of limitations has expired on that now, right?
Maybe.
Right.
It wasn't manslaughter, if that's what you're saying.
That's, you know what, I think...
man paddling?
Oh, shit.
We here at Holy Crap the Vlogcast do not advocate the you know what? I don't. You know what? I'm not even bothering.
Joseph, you've been hanging out in the clubs again, haven't you?
Spit on wow! You inspired me.
Spit on my uniform. That's paddling.
Yep. One of these days, we'll have her on. It's still one of those things, but how do we advocate, how do we combat this kind of willful ignorance of just what is currently basic medical science and technology?
I think
bringing that to the head might work.
Yeah, no, I think the only thing is to try and challenge as much bullshit as you can at every opportunity you can, because a lot of these things are a symptom of, while it's particularly evident in religious circles, is a wider thing of magical thinking, of people believing either that prayer or magic or various quack remedies will work, or that, you know, like the Lucky Charms or Rabbit's Foot will change stuff for them. And it's all this background level of bullshit thinking that if we can reduce that, then the really lunatic stuff stands out a lot further.
Go ahead.
It's like all this constant level of, you know, belief in the supernatural, whether it's ghosts, religion, woo-woo, is like providing a level of grass for the really nasty snakes to hide in.
I think that's going to disappear with our advances in science, though, because, you know, as long as there's a gap in ignorance, as long as we're ignorant about certain things, you know, woo is the most convenient thing to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people who otherwise would appear to be smart and rational recommend putting onions in your shoes to cure colds and all kinds of things.
Yeah, and
it's see, like, how do you think that even works?
It's more the placebo thing. It just makes you feel like you're doing something where you normally would feel powerless. That's it.
Well, the onion thing I can see working, because if nobody wants to be around you because you stink like crazy, then you can't edge it. What I was going to say, though, was as far as to the technology helping people to understand, we took smallpox out of the equation in under 100 years. We've reduced so many of these diseases to inconsequential numbers in 50 years, to the point where they're arguably just a nuisance for people that are most at risk anyway. I don't know that we can really say that
smallpox isn't the only one. Within the last few years ago, there's polio that is now only, I think, in a couple of places in backwaters of somewhere like Afghanistan. There was also the cattle plague, Rinderpest, which when it turned up in Africa in like the 1870s or something, wiped out like 80% of cattle and caused mass famines and then other diseases from, you know, all these dead animals everywhere. That's within the last 5 years has gone. So, you know, we're finally at a stage where we can actually permanently get rid of a lot of these diseases. But you then get the anti-vax movement and the anti-rational thinking crowd out there and effectively doing their damnedest to bring these things back. We're now at a stage where it's looking like we may be able to get rid of malaria.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I've been saw and heard some of that, and the methodology is rather novel. It's one of those things where if it was the stuff I was listening to on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, very impressive.
Neutering mosquitoes.
Nope. basically using genetic engineering new techniques on mosquitoes.
Have you ever tried to give a vasectomy to a mosquito?
No,
not going to work very well.
But it's a way rapidly of getting these things
because there's a slight issue with the biting mosquitoes being female as well.
Yeah, that plus if you're going to go ahead and start dealing with moil and everything, I really don't think...
Yeah, and how do you suck the mosquito after, like,
Yo, there's a joke I want to make about the last person that I argued with on the internet, but I really don't think I need to be making that one.
I was going to say to you, when you're talking about the onions, you're better off to use garlic, because that way it keeps people with colds away and vampires.
Good point.
But I like vampires, they're hot.
Well, some are, yes. Yes, they do. It depends on your style of vampire, because some of them are hot and some of them are kind of nasty.
My last girlfriend sure wasn't a vampire.
I don't want my vampires to sparkle.
No sparkling of vampires. No. That is not acceptable.
I would like to see the spreading of ignorance and the exploitation of ignorance to become a prosecutable crime.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would prove to be very interesting.
I can foresee a slight backlog in the
century of court cases.
You well, could also probably have to, see your unemployment they'd have to start
by the time they got finished with Josh Fierstein and Pat Robertson, like everyone else would have become geriatric.
Could have thought Pat Robertson already was geriatric.
Well, he is, but they'd have to try him first before he croaks.
I don't think that's really something that we have to worry about. The guy's a goddamn lineage as it is. Joey, what did you find?
Ew.
Joey, you do realize that people who are listening on the podcast don't know what's going on.
Well, you guys mentioned the mosquitoes earlier.
Explain to the nice people who are listening.
What does your meme say?
Mosquito bites you. Eat it. Take back what is yours.
Of course, that's all well and good unless you're a Jehovah's Witness, in which case, you know, it's...
Yeah, I was very surprised to find out that they can't even use their own blood.
What?
Like once... Yeah, like, you know how you could bank your own blood for surgery and stuff?
Yeah,
once it's out of you, you're not allowed to take it back.
I did not know that.
I didn't either, so yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Okay, so life-saving saving techniques that have been going on for a long time, and nope.
Yeah, nope.
What's the JW stance on paper cuts, then?
I think you're supposed to like squeeze it out in a Kleenex and leave it.
I don't know. I have one in the garage. That's, do you want me to go ask her?
Okay,
witness in the garage.
You know, I'm right now.
I'm still wondering about the squeezing it out into a Kleenex and leaving it out. I'm trying to figure out where we're going here. And are we really supposed to label this episode differently the way this is going now?
I don't think so. I mean, a paper cut's pretty common.
Paper cut, yeah, right.
Sure. Paper cut is not the same as rubbing one out.
Getting a paper cut involve reading?
Well, yeah, maybe if you get the paper cut while you're reading The Watchtower, maybe that's acceptable. I don't know.
Bible pages can be pretty
or while you're handing out the Watchtower.
No, Joseph, no. The paper that they typically use for the Bible, that stuff is so thin and dry, it's absorbing all of the humidity in the air. It will never, ever be stiff enough to prick anyone. I'm really going at a place I really don't think that I would need to.
So in summer, when it's really humid, we should hang Bibles everywhere.
Hey, I'm getting a collection. I stole the one from the hotel the other night. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet.
Didn't steal it because they're free to take.
Suppose. Well, that's true.
That's true. I availed myself of the free Bible.
Well, there's also the thing that says, you know, should not steal. Oh, you're right. It's theirs. Yeah. Okay, yeah, never mind.
It says to take it.
Yeah.
It's public duty picking up litter.
This is true.
That's a good
point.
You're
right. It is an obligation, yes. I know Tiny wanted me to stick it in the refrigerator, but I was like, no, I need to, like, remove it from the premises.
there's a whole thing that got started over on another podcast, Thank God I'm Atheist. With Frank and Dan and Frank. And by the way, guys, you know, if you need an extra co-host, you know, I'm available sometimes. I'm the pony for the job. Some people get
except that. Monday at 9:30.
You're on your own show right now, man. Pry your lips off.
And if you're going to be on somebody else's show, that means more apologizing on this one.
Yeah. Loyalties. I mean, hey.
Trying to expand the universe that we live in here a little bit. I'm trying
to work. First half of the show is going to be apologies, and then the second half is going to be Deborah's plugs. Well,
Plug all the things.
Yes, but Joseph gets to have one of my plugs now, so there you go.
That's not helping. Joey, what?
The universe is expanding just fine on its own, Shujin.
Thank you so very much. Let's just go ahead and talk about my ass more while we're at it. Thank you so
much. Okay.
Appreciate
that. Okay.
You know what? Shut up. We're talking about topic, people. Topic.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Wait. We have a topic?
You know what? Wow.
Welcome to 2016, people. I'll see y'all in post.
Yeah.
This is just great. Dallin, you're going to make me sound like I know what the hell I'm doing, right? Thanks.
Nope.
New year, new topic.
Okay, so...
New year, new Alzheimer's patients.
Better luck next year.
Yeah.
So freaking bad. You know, and here I promised myself I'd get through the rest. I'd get through the year. I'd do another year.
You can do it.
Just get it all out of the way now. The rest of the year will be nice and smooth.
No, the hell it will.
Consider this. It will.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Think of it like The Purge. Oh, wait.
Never saw that.
That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, and so help me, I'm the first Shia LaBeouf reference, I'm so kicking you out. Don't even tempt me. I've done it before. You're squeaking.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Shia just, he lost his cool, man.
We'll just let it go at this point. So
I'm in trouble.
The whole thing, yeah. So the whole thing with religiosity, with this stuff actually causing harm like this.
Yes.
There's simple medical stuff now, and admittedly, it's not really simple. I mean, what goes into Joey? I mean, you firsthand, you got to see. Medical stuff ain't easy. Bringing people back from the dead, other than them being, you know, pissed off the world, ain't an easy thing to do.
No, sorry. Mushrooms and fire flowers. No.
Oh, yeah. There's that guy in Nigeria that claims he brings people back from the dead every week. But
Believe me, I've had my own little runabouts, but I guarantee you, no amount of prayer was saving my keister there. I had to stop myself there for a moment. Believe me, there was a lot more duct tape than prayer involved for mine.
I believe that.
Well,
in one case, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
Mine was luck.
You know what? Given the opportunity, I would take dumb luck over...
Prayer.
Death any day.
Mine was sheer dumb luck. It's like injecting up antibiotics in her that we hope that this will do it, but she's allergic to them, but we got enough in her so we can give her some epinephrine and counteract the allergic reaction she's having.
Experiment success yet again. Another use for duct tape. We found that not only is it waterproof and makes a wonderful hammock, boat, whatever you want.
Yep.
It's also bloodproof.
Very cool.
I was going to say I'd take duct tape any day.
I would, too.
Well, duct tape is effectively the force, so it all comes...
I was seeing just the other day that there's an advancement in trauma medicine. It's like a spray foam that you can, like, spray inside a wound, and it, like, expands and plugs stuff up.
Now, here's the thing. We had something of that sort. Mm-hmm. We were trying something out with it. Pretty much from the Vietnam era into, say, about Desert Storm era, we had the little packets that, weren't exactly fun, because quite literally what they did was you ripped the packet open, dumped it in the wound, and the water in your blood reacted with the powder to exothermic reaction that essentially cauterized a wound.
I remember those.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
That couldn't have felt very good.
One of the newer things that they'd come up with was this very sponge-like material that when you applied it to the wound, soaked into the blood and created a seal over the wound. Now, here's the issue with that, though. And one of the big selling points was that it was organic. So, you know, no major toxic factors or anything like that. Problem is, it was shellfish-based.
Allergies.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
You have some, like, Jewish person waking up freaking out when they find out that, yeah.
But it was mostly the allergies.
Yeah, the allergies would be the worst.
Personally, I'd take them waking up as opposed to not waking up.
Oh,
if they
definitely.
If they decide they want to freak out afterwards.
I'd be like, well, I can open you back up again.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say, the knife's over there, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've got these problems, like we were talking about, that we know what to do. Mm. And the technology is there, and it's, again, relatively simple. But again, it's from the standpoint of, you know, we've got all this technology that makes it simple. And yet, there is willful ignorance about the whole damn thing. And that's the only term that I can really think for it. It's willful ignorance that you just simply don't want to be dealing with it for no other reason other than it's been told to you, don't do it.
Christian scientists.
Yeah.
It's not willful ignorance because when you don't know any different, because you know, people who obey orders like this, they're in kind of a state that a rational person can't really understand.
But I would have to think that the higher-ups know better. I would have to.
Well, that's always the case, because really religion is just, it's a case of people capable of thinking critically, exploiting those who can't, and forcibly making them that way.
Well, you've got a good point there. You're right. It's not willful ignorance because they're not ignorant of the facts. They're just simply choosing to forego the science.
To deny reality.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. The thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses with Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian scientists. No, the Jehovah's Witnesses with the blood bridge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. They are aware of the science, but they intentionally say, I'm not going to use that. You're right. Joseph, you're right. That's not willful ignorance. But the question becomes, what do we call that? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is cognitive dissonance, and that's not right.
But that involves cognitive dissonance requires thought, and there's not even that there.
I don't know, because it's something more serious than that. It's with it, if it's one of these ones where it gets really messy, because there's a temptation to say, okay, if it's an adult on there, then they should have the freedom to make their own decisions about their medical care. And if they don't want...
Because they should know better.
Right, and if they want to forego a particular treatment and the consequences of that is that die, then at the end of the day, that's their decision.
Because our laws are made for people who are normally... capable of making rational decisions.
Yeah, there's an assumption of rational agency in here, and there's provisions in law on there for dealing medically with someone who can't make their own decisions. Then there's the other angle of when it gets to kids, and kids either being basically forcefully denied medical care by their parents, which is out and out child abuse. And in many cases, effectively murder. And you've also got the situation of the kids, as with like the Michaela's, on their denying, wanting to not go through with a medical procedure which may be unpleasant, but is well established, will actually save their lives or cure their condition.
Yeah. When you're 11 years old, you have no concept of what death really is.
And it's not, you're not in a position to make that kind of decision.
No.
The law makes three exceptions to autonomous decision making. It's being a minor, being insane, or being religious.
That hurts.
So, yeah.
But the problem is, if even with an adult, you've basically got someone who has been conditioned from childhood to make decisions which are counter to any rational view of their best interest.
Mm-hmm. But that's why the religion clause is damaging.
Yeah, and it's again, so it gets to the thing is, can someone who's been brought up basically in and taught to believe, I don't know, basically living in fairyland, on there with that kind of background, at what point can you say, are they able to actually make a rational decision?
That's the word that's the word that finally caught on me at this point.
And it's a whole like informed consent kind of thing in there, and it gets quite disturbing.
Yeah, the word that I was looking for that you grabbed out was irrational. Mm-hmm. That's the piece that kills me about this one, specifically on this angle. You know what the science is. You know what the outcomes are going to be based on the best science, which is quite irrefutable. You could try, but unfortunately you'll die before your trials come to. The choice of not accepting a blood infusion, not a transfusion, infusion. There's a thing about this later. When needed, medically needed, is an irrational choice. Here's the problem. At what point should the government say you're not allowed to make that choice? That's the problem.
Well, I think when there's a minor involved, that goes without saying.
But I don't know that I would put the age to 18, though. I think I would put the age at like something like 14 or 15.
Really?
I would stick with 18. The reason being is that most people of age 14 are living at home and are heavily under parental influence and basically don't have any sort of means not to.
True, but if you look at countries like the UK, legal drinking age there is what, 16?
18.
18? What's the legal age of consent?
16.
So I would put it somewhere around there. Legal age of consent. If you're old enough to consent to have sex, you should be able to determine medical decisions.
Well, but sex and dying is a little different.
But I think at 16 you can comprehend a little better what death means. Now, at 12, maybe not so much.
Okay, but there's a piece there that's interesting, which is bodily autonomy. If you're allowed to make a decision for yourself, what should be allowed inside of your body, there's a good argument to be made that the age of consent is a good basis to start off from and then kind of gauge from there. Hmm. But then again, we've also got areas where ages of consent are significantly lower.
Well, I think so too. I mean, like, if you're looking at the age of consent for abortion or getting BC pills, in some states it's 14 without parental involvement. So there's got to be some leeway there. I don't think 18 is as cut and dried as it seems.
I was talking for major life-threatening things. Obviously, 16, again, if I say the age of consent, makes sense. But if you get much lower than that, then I think it's getting too low. With decision-making for things like birth control pills, other more minor medical procedures, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And I think birth control pills are a special case because of the societal issues you guys have over there with them.
Yeah, well, there's a whole other thing with that. By the way, just to make sure that you know about it, Beth, I am seeing all the stuff that you're putting over in the Q&A. Thank you. I'm sorry, I can't go reading the stuff up. Unfortunately, I can't do that in the middle of everything, but believe me when I say I will be checking out all those links afterwards, and a good number of them will probably end up in the show notes.
She's just making sure that we have plenty of topics for the company.
Ain't that the truth?
Don't tell her that, Joey. She's got enough in her blog to keep you going for the next 20, 30 years.
That's really helpful, though.
I give it 20 minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
Years.
Oh, if I can maybe take a change of direction to something maybe a little lighter, coming off what you said on informed consent and about like the passive religious views influence in there, the whole thing about the Judeo-Christian like model of the relationship of, you know, one man, one woman for life, death till death do us part, etc. On there, and how damaging that is, because just about everyone accepts that that's, you know, a right way of doing doing relationships. And in some cases, you know, many cases, people believe that's the only way of doing a relationship.
Yeah.
50% divorce rate.
Yeah.
At least
50.
And a lot of relationships, even not only marriages, but other relationships, end really badly because of there's like a religiously based view of like, almost that your partner is in some way like yours as a possession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so much that has to change there, because I mean, like the definition of the family unit has to change, because
absolutely,
it has to be centered around the education of a young, like a minor, a kid, whatever. You know,
preparing people to take their place in the world.
Well, yeah, just to give them all the information they need to make it on their own in the world. I mean, that's what
that can happen in virtually any configuration.
Yeah, if you have two dads, two moms, what's the difference?
I mean, three
dads and two moms, four dads, one mom, whatever.
Well, if you're in a relationship with someone, it doesn't mean that you're automatically you know, it's automatically unacceptable to talk to or touch anyone else of the opposite gender.
Yeah.
But that's something else.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a thing that came across on Facebook earlier today that I saw. A comedian who was saying that, oh, you tell me that you've got two dads and they're both gay. Well, it's good because it'd be really uncomfortable if only one of them was. Thought about that.
Well, one of them might be bi.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll follow that along to the...
It's funny. I was talking to a doubting Muslim this afternoon for several hours. It was our regular atheist meetup, and this guy decided to come to the atheist meetup, even though he's not quite there yet. But one of the things that, because it's one of these things where we were discussing the Quran, and it was almost like he was trying to keep himself convinced by bringing up good things about the Quran, you know, and of course, you know me, I love discussing that shit. So we got started on that, and he was saying, you know, one of the there are good things in the Quran, and one of the things he brought up was it said, you know, you shouldn't have sex before marriage. And he says, now, when I first read that, I was like, what do you mean that I shouldn't do that? And then he's like, well, but, you know, the more I thought about it and studied it, it made sense to me because, you know, children, and that's what they need. And I'm like, no, they don't. They need stability. They need security. They need nurturing, which can come from any configuration. And he didn't really have anything much to say against that. And then later on, he kind of said that he supported the polygamy in the Quran. So,
and I'd also add on one thing to that, Deborah. I agree with everything you say. And this is talking from personal experience. What I'd say children would need is, if the relationship between their parents is gone and is unsalvageable, then the children need that relationship to be over cleanly.
Yeah.
And for the parents still to be able to deal with each other as adult human beings.
I would argue that
try and like force like the relationship to continue for the sake of marriage, family, society, kids or anything over.
I would kind of think of that under the stability thing, but it is definitely important.
Mm. Well, it's still need to be civil towards each other for the sake of the kids.
And this crap of, you know, well, you said something I didn't like, so now I'm not going to let you see the kids, and, you know, the stupid crap like that.
Yeah, the kids were not pawns.
Basically, using the kids as blackmail,
weapons.
Hostage.
Yes.
Yeah. I was meaning more of a keeping a failed relationship with a bad atmosphere together.
That's
the irrationality of the adults.
I stayed married in a horrible relationship for 30 years for the children.
That's worse on the kids.
It's what messed them all up in the first place, you idiot.
I don't know so much if it's irrationality of the particular people involved. I can see
lack of rationality.
It's because it's what people have done on their what's expected society, what's portrayed as being the right thing to do from so many sources.
That
there is a lot of pressure to do this kind of thing.
We've got our ass between two chairs because our tradition is a religious one, but we're not yet to a rational one.
Yeah.
So we're like between the two for now. So, you know, we're talking before about a precedent. Well, that's our precedent. And that's the model that people go by. And the first thing that humans tend to do is, you know, when they're making decisions, if they don't have any experience of their own, they tend to imitate others. So, you know, until we can come up with a rational model, And if I can add a bit, you know, that's the reason a lot of couples break up is because of divergence of their education.
I have a new co-host.
Or just divergence of life.
Hi, Kitty.
Forgive me, why is your pussy a bottled color? Don't get me wrong.
Why not?
I mean, it's very generous of you to show it off, but
and rub on it like that.
Obviously enjoying the attention.
Yeah.
Join us. Oh,
holy crap, the vlogcast. Pedophilia and pussies.
And petting said
the money shot.
Very flexible
pussy.
Yes. Very flexible pussy you've got there. By the way, kids, if you don't know who Mrs. Slocum is, look her up. This will make so
much
more.
Yes, because she had to dry out pussy in front of the fire once. It was something else.
There you go. Okay, so there's two pieces about all this. First off, the statistic that 50% of marriages end in divorce these days is that's a really sobering, and it's a really sad thought. Until you realize that means that 50% of marriages end in the death of somebody.
Why is it such a sad thought?
And I'm wondering at the accuracy of that number.
Yeah,
I think it's low.
It's entirely possible. I don't know how accurate that number would be, but the idea that it would be as high as it is.
Yeah.
I think of it in terms. Hold on.
Sorry.
I think of it in terms of if 50% of marriages. We'll take it as a baseline for a moment. Let's assume that the number, whatever number, is where it is.
Canada's 48%.
Okay. Okay. So we'll take 50 as a rounded number for a second. The idea to me about it being sad is that means that at least 50% of people that get married are married very likely for the wrong reason.
Absolutely.
It's a huge commitment to say, I want to work with you. I want to commit with you. I want us to be a unit together for the betterment so that the sum of our parts is more important. The sum of our parts is more important than the pieces themselves. I'm misquoting it poorly. I'm sorry. I can't remember what the right quote is. But that still ends up meaning that for whatever reason, either you went into having a marriage for the wrong reasons or you didn't stay connected. Of course, it doesn't say how long these people were married for. It could be a couple of months, a couple of years. It could be a couple of decades. Now, you get up into the couple of decades, okay, that's a different area, but if we're talking like 5 years or something, that's...
Yeah, well, there's some research that shows that human relationships are geared biologically to run on like a 5 to 6 year cycle.
Yes, but I remember something like that.
I think it was Daryl Ray's show that I've heard that on. I've not checked into it further. But what I was going to say is people make this thing about divorce rates going up high and saying people have got married too young for the wrong reasons, not stayed connected or whatever. One of the fact is I think the biggest... reasons for the increase in divorce rates is simply that people can get divorced.
Oh, absolutely.
If you go back to like the 50s, 60s, 70s, it wasn't done, and people stayed together in marriages that were perhaps not the best thing. Not the best place.
Definitely. I mean, marriage became, it was more of a commodity for centuries. It was a business contract. It was, you know, my family's deciding that we're going to merge with this family, and this is how we want to divvy up all the property, et cetera, et cetera. It had nothing to do with, I mean, it wasn't about...
Bloodlines were important. Too.
Yes. And because they couldn't know what a bloodline was any other way than by restricting sexual contact through marriage, but it's gone well beyond that. We've morphed it into something, but the problem is traditionally people were getting married because their parents or families told them that they were getting married. And then when we've got that freedom to choose, we're still expected to, you know, at a pretty young age, be able to choose the right person every time, and that's just the one you get, and you're stuck with it. So you're right in that having the even ability to divorce is putting the divorce rate up, but we're still marrying for at the wrong time of life and for the wrong reasons, I think. There's a lot of people out there that get married because they're getting, you know, the end of their 20s or whatnot, and they're like, whoa, I'm single, and that's not right at my age, and I got to find some, which is exactly what I did. I married when I totally shouldn't have, and it was because I felt pressure that, you know, I was 29, and like, oh crap, I'm gonna be 30 and I'm single, and that's
I could have sex. Wrong with it.
Oh hell, I was doing that regardless. But there are the contingents that believe they can't have sex until they get married, and that is another wrong reason. Is
they've played.
Yeah.
People's hormones are being used against them to steal.
Absolutely.
And also, it's the view of a divorce necessarily as, like, a priori, a failure on there. If you've had, for example, 10, 20 happy, great years with someone, I would say that relationship's been an outstanding success.
Yes.
And what's the best way of dealing with that success is if, like, after, say, another 5 years, it becomes apparent that the people involved have just grown apart and changed over the course of their lives. Because face it, I am nothing like I am the person I was when I was 18. Like now,
you've got two separate things going on here. Because I mean, if you take a step back from all the cruft that's tradition, because education is something. You have to look at it. It's something relatively new to us because, I mean, until like 300 years ago, and that's being generous, there was nothing but bloodline. And like, it was basically survival. And, you know, a family unit was something completely different. But nowadays, we've got, where was I going with this? But you know, we have to redefine love, basically. Comes down to that, because you've got we lump everything into this love word, and you know, those different aspects of love. You've got the hormone part of it, you've got the respect part of it, and the respect is directly linked to education. So you know, if we take a step back and have a look at it, we see the cycle going on. You've got the initial attraction. These hormones wear off with time, and then the relationship becomes something else, and this is permanent. If there's no mutual understanding behind a couple, then, you know, once these hormones wear off, there's nothing left. And that's why the divorce rate happens.
You know, listening to you guys talk about it this way, I kind of wonder if maybe the way that I've been thinking about it has been a much more romanticized, and forgive me for wording it that way, because of the way that my relationship ended up. So I don't know about anybody else. This definitely gives me something more to think about on that one. So thank you, guys, of course. And by the way, before we get very close to wrapping up, Bridget, I did notice while the camera was not on you, I don't know how to ask this without being uncomfortable, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did your pussy change colors?
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented.
I'll bet you're popular.
I have black and white. I have tri-colored. I have gray. And I have
keep the gray happy.
I've got five.
She's more talented than I am.
That still doesn't explain why kangaroos have three.
No.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to call you Pussy Galore from now.
Yeah, Pussy Galore. That's
this one blends into the studio setting here.
I don't have black one. I need a black one, but you know, black is not my natural shade.
You know, no. We're not talking at this point about this.
You want me to iron my cat? Did you say?
I'm not going to iron my cat.
Yeah.
When you come here to visit, Joseph, I will be happy to let you try and iron my backdrop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't ask Boda about anything.
I would.
And I'll have to talk about it.
I know you would do it. I know you would. And like I said,
my OCD is very predictable.
You're more than welcome to try, but I've tried multiple things and the creases will not come out.
Well, that's an age thing, you know?
Well, I'll give it a woman's touch.
Okay.
I'm almost 50, so I cut myself some slack.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with a few creases here and there.
Yeah.
Well, according to Joseph, there is.
Shuten just shaking his head.
I'm 45. I iron my face regularly.
Yeah, but you're older. You're younger than I am.
I got nothing. That's my own damn fault. I opened up the floodgates, and God damn it, it all just fell apart right there. That's great.
What is that?
That's my snowflake wand that I acquired. Oh, you missed that. This is the snowflake wand I acquired in Buffalo.
It's already annoying.
Hey, older women are good. We can teach people a few things, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I could trade it for my disco stick if you'd rather.
Don't say it, Chris.
Oh, fine. I'll say it then. The fact that you went ahead and said that it was annoying at this point is such deep irony I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Mine's not annoying. I'm just saying.
You could scratch that irony away and you wouldn't even see it.
You could, but that's called rust at that point. We gotta see about wrapping up at this point. Yay.
Hello.
So now, I don't, you know what? Not going to say. And I'll tell you why. Because we've only got about 20 minutes left, if that.
Oh.
Actually, we'll get 20 minutes to get our butts on out of here.
At the present rate, we have enough time for 3 divorces.
Oh, no.
Actually, at this point.
By the way, the United States is at 52%, and Belgium leads the pack with 73%.
Yeah.
71% divorce rate.
Ooh, I'm not getting married in Belgium. Shit.
If you think about it, 100% of divorces are caused by marriage.
This is true.
Oh, yes. Look at the fact.
Okay, heretic woman.
Yes.
At 100%,
heretic woman is just
are
amazing.
A direct result of births.
Joey's gonna hurt me for this one later, but I don't really much care. Shouldn't you see a doctor about what your ball is doing at this point?
Probably, but you know.
I'm just.
It's only blue for a split second.
I wish mine.
I think you could make an epic Star Wars parody with those.
I probably could.
You know what? Just that, I'm going to spoil it for everyone. Solo dies.
You didn't.
Yeah, I'm a Trekkie. I don't care.
I'm still thinking about it.
Was he wearing a red shirt at the time?
No, but he was dealing with a little bitch with daddy issues.
Yeah, you see, you're thinking of Firefly now. We're not talking about those. All right, so we gotta see about rolling this all together and getting out of here because I
have until the next movie. So,
so we gotta. I don't know what you guys in particular want to hang your hat on for this one. I mean, we've kind of let a bunny hole go down a long ways away from where I was originally intending to, and it's.
Did we find the entryway?
I don't know.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But we've.
Will that be cake?
I don't even.
Can I try and make this short? You know that you're talking about the damage religiosity does. In a few words, you know, even before you're old enough to make decisions for yourself, being told that you're broken, being told that you can't decide anything for yourself.
Yep.
And
that you have to fit into a certain mold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a certain role.
That's very damaging.
And as far as I know, I don't know of any animal species that has bad behaviored itself to extinction. But according to religion, humans are even less than that.
Pandas, maybe? Almost?
Not adopting, not bad behavior.
The lack of bad behavior.
Lack of any behavior.
And this is about Deborah's favorite band.
Pandas are overly pious. So.
Rush. I don't even know anything that Rush sings, really.
Well, they have a song called I Was Brought Up to Believe, and it was talking about how shitty they were and broken and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, Deborah, you just committed sacrilege. How do you even say that?
Canadian side. You hate Rush.
Well, yeah.
Take it off.
Sacrilege!
What? No! Not to be. Way to go. Take it. The term you're looking for is heresy, actually.
No, sacrilege was what he said. En français.
Yeah, I will just have to, like, post you lyrics to the songs later, eh?
Blasphemy. Okay.
Like you hoser, eh?
Yeah, take off hose head.
Oh, and shoes.
Hoser, eh?
Yes, sure.
You hose head.
Sorry for your show.
That's okay. He can come on mine tomorrow and make a mess of it if he wants.
He can or I can?
Anybody, I don't care.
I'm going to come.
Yay, field trip.
I can be the fire.
It's a Crash Deborah show.
I keep telling you guys.
Have you got any guest book tomorrow,
Deborah? All I ask for, I don't ask for much. I just ask for one rehearsal on a Saturday. Is that really so difficult? And
yes.
This whole thing just goes to pot.
Yes. Rehearsal? It is too difficult.
You lose spontaneity, though, Chujin.
And I can even provide the perfect graphic.
Okay.
And you know, just getting the pussies to behave correctly for the rehearsal is just so much work.
Yeah,
mine won't behave.
I've got one howling in the hallway right now.
Well, mine just, like, vibrates all the time.
Wow. That's a talented pussy.
I bet it you buy a lot of battery.
A lot of batteries, right?
Battery assault, whatever it is that it takes to fight this whole damn thing. How about
maybe she's got one of those batteries that charges when you shake it?
I'll show you.
Maybe it's solar powered.
Oh, yeah.
It plugs in.
That'll be the latest free energy device.
Or maybe you have to pedal a bicycle.
But I have one under my desk.
Actually, I've seen things like that.
Okay. I have one under my desk.
I have.
One watch?
Eh. It's not my show.
Show officially derailed.
Yep. Yes, it has. So, you know what?
Good night.
Yeah, hold on a second. Joey, since this whole damn thing has just been snowballing out of control, yes, I know. You and I both know.
No, snowflake.
Shut up.
Did you want to get a word in edgewise? Because I know how you are before I go ahead and just wrap this damn thing up.
I have no words. Good, we were supposed to do something tonight, and I don't even know where it...
Perfect.
Alcohol.
I'll see. I'll see what I can. I'll see what I can send you.
Pass it over here.
All right. You know what? Here. Let me wrap this up for us.
Why I've been quiet so much tonight is because, you know, as soon as I think we're going one direction, we go another. No. Don't you even.
No.
As soon as I figure we're going one way, you know, it's we suddenly go another. I've just been sitting back and, you know, watching the chaos.
This is worse than trying to keep track of Automan trying to navigate the streets at night. Kids, ask your grandparents.
Usually I'm the one that's supposed to derail everything. But clearly we started with no rails to begin with.
Well, we've obviously been trying to fill in for tech.
Yeah. Oh, good grief. I would like to say that I have not ever actually done that, having
what lived was that, Bridget?
My own life.
I missed that.
I'll have to find it again. Oh, shit.
Explain it for the nice people who are just listening to us and going, what the hell?
This was, if I can find it again, and I can't.
God, it was a picture of somebody who foolishly stuck their tongue out to a cold metal pole in the winter.
And it got stuck, and it was Geddy Lee, a brush.
Yeah. So then he had to sing, like, with his tongue hanging out for the rest of the tour, huh?
No.
No.
Damn it.
Anyway, let me wrap us up because we gotta get out of here. The areas that I was looking to go through, obviously we've gone way, way above and beyond and under in some cases, sideways. And that's kind of what ends up happening around over here. But something was said that really stuck to me. The Christian religion, and I don't know if it extends out into Judaism. I would think so. I don't know if it extends into Islam, but I think so. You're broken.
Mm-hmm.
You start off, you don't even start off from zero. You start off from negative, whatever it is that they decide to put you into. You're not good enough. And if you're brought up in these religions that tell you you're broken in the first place, that's one of your fundamental memories. That's one of the things that is driven home as truth from the get-go.
You build the rest of your life on that.
Yes.
The rest of your psyche.
Mm.
That's horrible. That's simply horrible.
You know, everybody gets into all these biblical discussions, but religion is basically humans telling other humans what to do. I mean, it's just totalitarianism with extra woo.
Yeah, that's it. It's because it's the specific woo of telling people they're damaged or they're broken.
It's making them broken.
Yeah,
it's about humans relying on other humans for their entire life. So right.
The tribal thing of telling people that you might be broken, but everyone else is more broken. You're better than everyone else because
they've got to create the illness in order to sell you the cure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have an advantage. There's a certain group of elder humans who have the advantage, and religion is all about keeping that advantage. That's it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're told as a fundamental level you're wrong, there's something wrong with you right from the get-go, and as Joseph correctly pointed out, people who are theoretically in authority are going to go ahead and continue to perpetuate that. I don't want to call it a lie. It probably is.
I call it a lie.
Hold on. This untruth. Let me go with that. Because it could be that people just simply are not well enough informed to lie intentionally. They could be misinforming. And I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. I know it. I know it's a huge stretch, but follow with me for a second.
And differentiate between leaders and followers.
Right. But if you're told that you're broken and they are the ones to sell you the cure, this model has been used time and time again by 40-some-odd thousand sects of Christianity alone. If it extends into the Judaism, I don't know specifically. I would assume so, since the Bible is the beginning part of the Torah, or vice versa. And Islam is supposed to be based off of the same God principle. So is it in there? I'm not sure. But this model continues into the secular realm too, believe it or not. And that's this is the piece. It's not even just that. Mm. What finally caught me on this was the secular side of this. And as much as we want to believe that we don't have to worry about it on the secular side, we do. And it's as simple as saying homeopathy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same damn thing. You're broken, and we've got what ails you.
That.
On the secular side, it's money. Nothing more.
But it's still the informed taking advantage of the ignorant.
But it's money. It's not power. It's money.
Money is power.
No. You're missing the point. With religion, it is the power to influence. It is the power to stay in judgment of. It is the power to tell people you will follow along, but with homeopathy. It's all about money. What you do with it afterwards is a different matter.
Shijin, a lot of the really disturbing things is, and this is really easy as a skeptic to do, is not just with homeopathy, but with lots of things.
Coca-Cola.
Acupuncture, like chiropractic, like the various forms of energy healing and stuff, which are all, if you look at them rationally, complete nonsense. And some of them are far more damaging than homeopathy. What it is that while there may be product suppliers, pharmaceutical companies, etc., involved in these things for money, what you probably find is, and it's again like psychics,
mm-hmm.
Where yes, you do have some big names that are blatantly in it for the cash. These people are genuinely wanting to help other people and believe that their homeopathy or their magic needles or their magic hands or whatever work because they are sadly deluded and mistaken. And they would honestly fail to understand why people want, such as myself, want them to stop doing what they're doing. Because they honestly believe that it works, and it's very rarely about the money in these cases.
That's complex, because that's also there's two things in that factor in here. There's the placebo effect, which is a demonstrated thing in humans that, you know, just doing something, even something symbolic, will make you feel better, and people who feel better heal better. That's one thing. And two, the thing that comes to the forefront for me anyways is just this monopoly on ignorance. I mean, it's the same everywhere.
But yeah. Here's the reason why I'm going with homeopathy and I'm hanging my hat on this one to close this out. Because of the numbers. The amount of money that gets spent on purchasing homeopathic products versus how much is needed to produce it. The difference, the ROI, the return on investment, is positively staggering. Billions upon billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And for what? Chalk. In some cases, there's actual stuff in there, and sometimes you're going to get caught with having to recall product in order to change the label, but you just change the label, you turn around, slap it back out there, and boom. Hundreds of millions of dollars for any one company for a negligible anything to go out. And what are they going to do here in the U.S.? It's protected for the most part, unless somebody actually complains that they got sick.
Yeah. And that's what I say. It's like the big companies in there that know what they're doing because they're producing the stuff. There's a big pharmacy chains marketing it. But if you see like your homeopathist like in the office on the street, generally like you find the people who do tarot card reading or astrology or any other form of bullshit, these people are generally sadly mistaken and are believing that they're doing the world of good when they're doing nothing. And it's trying to reach these people and understand and get them to understand that what they're doing is actually harmful. There's fascinating blog by Confessions of a Naturopath or something, where it's someone's story of how they got out of it, and it was almost like a cult type environment.
Doesn't surprise me, but for right now, that's what I'm looking at. And the worst part about this is not that people have been ill-informed, because it's easy enough to show people that the science is there to discount stuff. It's easy enough to say, you know, have you seen a god recently? Don't give your money into this group. Or even better, they've got a proven track record of diddling kids. Why would you want to support them? That's easy enough to do. But when you're dealing with something where it's huge numbers for what it means to dilute something out versus a small possible investment, well, if it's the wrong thing, it's so weak it's not going to hurt anybody. So it's just a little bit of money from a whole bunch of people. And when you've got that going on, we should be a little bit more conscious of that.
Yeah, Shujin. So, if you think a how many people are the Catholic Church has been pretty much irrefutably shown to have been involved in rape and torture on a global scale for decades of children. Given that, you think any reasonable person would want nothing more to do with them and would leave. Do we see that? Or do we see still massive numbers of Catholics? A magic potion not working, what's that in comparison to an organization that, that fucks kids?
And
you know, if you can't, if people will not leave and give up on an organization that the rapes children, then what are the chances of them giving up on a magic potion that, that doesn't work?
That's our job. That's why we keep doing what we do. Whether we find any monetary gain in this or not, and we don't, that's intentional. We do the job of trying to help. We may be only the voices in the same echo chamber, but it's a damn fine echo chamber, thank you very much. And sooner or later, somebody will pay attention. With any luck, it's been you. And thank you for joining us tonight. As always, everybody, thank you for joining us. Of course, as always, we hope that you find something worthwhile in all of our perspectives. We think that they're certainly worthwhile. So to get us on out of here, I'll give you guys a chance to say something very, very briefly to go along with your exit out. Joseph, knowing full well I've got it in the show notes also, thank you very much. Good morning. And what would you like to very quickly say goodnight with?
Well, I'm going to get yelled at if I don't make a plug. So,
Thank you.
Atheist Apocalypse, atheistapocalypse.com. Thank you.
Next episode comes out on February 1st. We are on the winter hiatus right now.
No.
Thanks, Joseph, for that comment.
Yes.
Anyway, come around to that. It was a blast, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. Chris, thank you very much. Anything to plug and any last very quick comments before we get out of here?
Nothing to plug. And just a quick reminder to Dallin, this show, fix the whole thing in post.
Yeah. make us all sound smart. Please,
Show is going to be the best 2 minutes of your life after he's left.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Because 2 minutes in heaven is twice as good as 1 minute in heaven.
Or something like that.
There's a reference to a party game for teenagers that I
no, Flight of the Conchords, but anyway.
Sure, okay. Joey! Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Morpheus. Have yourself a good morning. Any last thing that you'd like to complain about before I cut us loose?
Complain about something very, very brief.
Change them.
No, I'm just waiting on you because I'm just that kind of an SOB, that's all. I was going to make a comment about your chin, but I don't think I should really go ahead and do that. Bridget, thank you for your time today. And, of course, have a good morning. Stay warm, if at all possible. And any last item that you want to say about before we get out of here that does not involve lyrics?
Can I plug my blog?
By all means, just don't do this whole big thing. Okay, we've talked about this before. When somebody types something for our chat, it comes up on the screen. When it covers up like 3/4 of my screen, oh my God, do I freak out for a couple seconds?
Oh, that's your own fault. Oh, that. Okay, never
I'm
mind.
I'm just going to plug my blog, bridget.fitch2112@wordpress.com. Come hang out there and come see what I have to say.
I'm not sure you should do that to a blog. Maybe I should.
What?
Moving on.
F you.
This coming from somebody that's been repeatedly showing off her pussy on screen. That's great.
Yeah.
Erotic woman.
Yes.
Plug all of the things, and of course, but now do, because I just wanted to make Joey have a little bit of fun there.
Oh, okay.
Your calendar starts now.
So, of course, there is Beyond the Trailer Park, which is Mondays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And we'll definitely be having a Shujin tomorrow. Looks like some of the crap crew might be following. We'll figure that out. It's sort of an open invitation. It could be, you know, crap does Mondays. We'll see. but we will be doing that tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And it's our first live show back since we went on a holiday break. So there you go. Yeah, I think that's about it for now, because Joseph got Atheist Apocalypse, and I think we're good.
Beyond the Trailer Park.
I said that.
Beyond the Trailer Park. Savior.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes I show up on Forbidden Fruit, but I haven't been on there for a little while, so. But they're cool, so Forbidden Fruit. What?
Come on in, there's room for everyone.
Yeah, these people are like whispering at me, kind of put me out. But.
Joseph, you're not making another joke about her pussy again, are we?
No, the pussy walked away. She got tired.
That's
of...
harsh.
I know. And the other one's asleep, so.
You know what?
Talk about the ultimate turndown. Ouch!
I know. He's snoring even. Yeah. That's the one that looks like Kitty Cow. He's snoring in the bed over here.
No. You do not want to know what's happening in my brain right now.
No.
So it looks like in 2016, where it looks like we're hosting Christmas Con by the sounds of it, sort of exploded today. So, yeah, Ashley's going to be over the moon when I tell her this later.
Yes.
That's great. And by the way, Bridget, you should know better at this point. Don't be drinking anything when the rest of us are talking. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Uh-oh. Or, you know, good way to ruin your keyboard and monitor, I suppose. And that was her pounding the keyboard, just so you know.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I got that on camera at the moment. We need to get our asses on out of here. So, of course, thank you everybody for being with us tonight. Hope that you've enjoyed the hell out of yourselves. If you'd like to follow us, please, by all means, take a swing on over to holycrapthevlogcast.com. All the links that you need are over there, including the link to follow on the podcast feed so you can just listen to us instead, which is half the battle, I think. If you'd like to send off any messages to us, please, by all means. I'm looking at the wrong goddamn paper. Wait. That's one with all the passwords. This is the one with all of my passwords. Here is the list.
I'm thinking reading those out would be a bad idea. Just
you
saying.
You think? What I'm going to do is, one of these days, I'm finally going to like print the stuff off that I need to say, and I'm just going to tape it onto my wall in front of my monitor so I know what my script is, because I'm freaking lost over here. Send any email over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. No, I didn't need my notes to do this one. I needed it for this. We do have a voicemail line, and the phone number there is 859-HCTV-554. Again, 859-4288-554. Be happy to take a listen to you guys sometime in the near future. In the meantime, of course, thank you for being with us. Those of you that have finally been affected by snow for the first time this season, stay safe out there on the roads. From my wife, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you again next time. In the meantime, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Till the next time we get together, everyone, as always, Dallin, you better put the bed in already. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.